वाकयावृत्या अर्थितं ते परं वया कथं चेदमुदस्वाक्षी कले प्राप्ते कलेव अयं भुवाकयावृत्या अर्थितं ते परं वया कथं चेदमुदस्राक्षी काले प्राप्ते कले वरम् स्वयंभुवा ओ सन ऑफ ब्रह्मा कया अंडर व्हाट कंडीशन वृत्या ऑक्युपेशन वर्तितं वाज स्पेंट ते यू परम After the initiation, vayaha, duration of life, katam, how, cha, and, idam, this, udasrakshi, did you quit, kale, in due course, prapte, having attained. Kalevaram body. Translation. O son of Brahma, how did you pass your life after initiation? And how did you attain this body, having quit your old one in due course?
Purport. Sri Narada Muni in his previous life was just an ordinary maidservant's son. So how he became so perfectly transformed into the spiritual body of eternal life, bliss and knowledge is certainly important. Sri Vyasadeva desired him to disclose the facts for everyone's satisfaction.
Read the next text. Prakalpa vishayam etam shritim te muni sattama nahyesha vyadadhat kala esha sarva nirakatihi. O great sage, time annihilates everything in due course. So how is it that this subject matter, which happened prior to this day of Brahma, is still fresh in your memory, undisturbed by time?
Purport. A spirit is not annihilated even after the annihilation of the material body, so also spiritual consciousness is not annihilated. Sri Narada developed this spiritual consciousness even when he had his material body in the previous kalpa. Consciousness of the material body means spiritual consciousness expressed through the medium of a material body. This consciousness is inferior, destructible, and perverted. But superconsciousness of the supermind in the spiritual plane is as good as the spirit soul and is never annihilated.
Now we discussed that the other day. Let's go on. Narada uvacha bhikshubhir vipravasite vijnana deshtribhi mama vartamano vayasyadye tata etad akarsham. Sri Narada said, the great sages who had imparted scientific knowledge of transcendence to me, departed for other places, and I had to pass my life in this way.
Purport. In his previous life, when Naradaji was impregnated with spiritual knowledge by the grace of the great sages, there was a tangible change in his life, although he was only a boy of 5 years. That is an important symptom visible after initiation by the bona fide spiritual master. Actual association of devotees brings about a quick change in life for spiritual realization. How it is so acted upon the previous life of Sri Narada Muni is described by and by in this chapter.
Yes, actually Lord Chaitanya, when he went to Goya, he took initiation from Sri Ishwarapuri, and after that, he began to exhibit symptoms of ecstatic love for Krishna. And he began taking the chanting out all over. Because the order of the spiritual master was that he should chant the holy names. Not worry so much about studying Vedanta or teaching Vedanta, but to chant. And actually, this is the real Vedanta. This is the conclusion of Vedanta. This chanting. Lord Chaitanya said, Keto darpana marjanam baba mahadavagni nivapanam Shreya kairava chandika vitaranam vidyavaru jivanam Anandam burivardanam pratipatam purnamritas varanam Sarvatmas napanam param vijayate Shri Krishna sankirtanam. This is the chanting of the holy names, the sankirtan, is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. It cleanses the heart from all dirt. What could be greater than that? The holy name of the Lord is the personality of Godhead Himself. And the personality of Godhead is the personification of all knowledge. All knowledge comes from Him. Vedanta Krit. Vedaisha sarvairaham eva vedyo. Vedanta Krit. Vedavid eva chaham. By all the Vedas He's to be known. In other words, if one has knowledge, then he knows the Lord. And if he doesn't know the Lord, then he doesn't have knowledge. So, if one is chanting the holy name of the Lord, it's stated in the Vedas, Bhagavatam, that he's already gone to the holy places. He's taken bath. He's performed all the austerities, studied the Vedas, performed all the rituals. He's done everything. Now, he's chanting. This is the conclusion. It's like the gopis. We don't hear the gopis studying the Vedas, but they like to chant. They're very eager to chant the holy names of the Lord. Prabhupada, there was a discussion once amongst some of his disciples. One of the disciples was saying that Sankirtan, going out on book distribution and preaching work, was to be compared with the activities of the gopis. And some devotees weren't sure if that was acceptable, so it was brought up to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's true. This is the Sankirtan movement is in the mood of the gopis, because gopis are always trying to serve Krishna for His satisfaction, and they want to bring others to Krishna. It is not that they only want to enjoy for themselves. The bhajan and nandis are interested in trying to get their own enjoyment. But the ghosts and nandis are interested in bringing others to Krishna's lotus feet. That's even more pleasing to the Lord. Just like, let's say you're one of the children. Say you're one of 10 children and the house is on fire. So you save yourself. So the father is very pleased that you saved yourself. But if you save some of the other children, or all the other children, that's even more pleasing. Is it not? Isn't the father more pleased if you can save more of the children? That's what Krishna wants his good sons to do, is to make arrangements to bring the others back. Save them from the blazing fire. Sangsara dava nadalila loka trinayakara naganaganatvam. Spiritual master is receiving mercy from the benediction from the ocean of mercy. And just like a cloud pours water over the forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. This is the business of the Vaishnavas. And among all spiritual master Vaishnavas, Narad Muni is the greatest. He's called Sparshamani. He's compared to a touchstone. Touchstone, if you touch it to some iron, it turns it into gold. The same way, Narad Muni is able to turn the iron-like hearts of the conditioned souls into gold. Not only gold, but melted gold. Their hearts are melting with love for Krishna. How is it possible? By association. If one associates with an advanced devotee, then he can also advance. If one hears about the Lord or His pastimes, he can make advancement. If he chants, I was hearing Prabhupada was discussing the other day in one of his talks that managing temple is part of archanam. Because you may wonder what part of devotional service is management. That's archanam. It's worshiping the deity because the whole temple, the whole grounds, everything is part of the worship of the Lord. So it should be kept very clean and kept in good order, everything nice. Just like in deity worship. Deity worship doesn't only mean dressing the deity, but cleansing the altar, making flower vases, making garlands, decorating, making clothes. This is all part of archanam. And so those who are engaged, they shouldn't think that this is material activity. I'm engaged in maintaining the buildings or something like that. No, it's all part of worshiping the Lord. And this preaching work, like when our devotees go out and distribute books, this is kirtanam. They're having kirtan, sankirtan. They're glorifying the Lord by distributing the transcendental books. The word is used here, vijnana. Again, this word is used, vijnana. There are two types, jnana, vijnana. Jnana means theoretical knowledge. Someone studies the Vedas, he has some theoretical knowledge. But vijnana means he's realized it. Just like someone may study some books on medicine. So he's read, say, 8 books on medicine. Will you let him perform an operation on you? Not necessarily. Just because he's read those books. He may tell you, oh yes, the spleen is here, and next to the spleen there's the liver, and then there's this and that. And I even know how to do the operation. You're supposed to cut, and then you sew it up afterwards. He's got some theoretical knowledge, but no one is willing to let him operate. But we want someone who's got vigyan, who's actually been trained by a surgeon, and who has experience. So that's vigyan. That's a real knower of the science of medicine. Similarly, the real knower of the Vedas is the devotee. Vedesya durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. Without being a devotee, no one really understands the Vedas. Even though he may read them, he may touch them. And how will one understand how to become a devotee? Well, that, the acharyas say that we have to run after the Vaishnav, Ohe Vaishnav Thakur. Ohe Vaishnava Thakura, Toyara Kora, Idase Karuna Kori. He's asking, please give me one drop of mercy. Because he has Krishna's mercy. He has Krishna. He can give him to us. Otherwise, we cannot get Krishna. He's not available. He's only available from the representatives, the pure devotees. They can give Krishna. So unless someone has Krishna, he cannot give Krishna. Now someone may say, but I'm not very qualified. How can I give Krishna? I'm not a pure devotee. But you can give this knowledge. You can give these books. Because by giving the books, you're giving Bhagavatam. This is without any change. You're introducing them to Srila Vyasadeva, to Srila Prabhupada, Narada Muni. That much we can do. We may not understand everything so well, we may not be pure devotees, but we can introduce, we can bring people to those who are more advanced. We can give them the books. And by that service, gradually we'll also become purified and we'll become impregnated with transcendental knowledge. This is the business of the spiritual master. He implants the Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed of the creeper of devotional service. And then, when the seed is implanted in the heart of the disciple, then he has to water it by hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. And then the plant of bhakti grows, and it keeps growing, and it pierces through the universe of the material world, and it goes back to Goloka Vrindavan, and there it produces beautiful fruits and flowers in the form of love of God. Well, this is the process. It's still the same bona fide process. It's working even now. The unbroken chain is still unbroken. If that were not the case, how is it that so many persons are taking to Krishna consciousness? If the chain was broken, then no one would take it. Wouldn't be able to deliver it. It's like a tree. That a dead tree doesn't produce any fruits. You can wait for millions of years, there won't be any fruits. But if it's alive, if it's got life, then there's nice fruits. So therefore we have to behave nicely also, as because we represent the tree of the Vedic culture, of the Sankirtan movement. It's like when some persons misbehave, it gives the movement a bad name. So similarly, it is said that if there's one tree in a forest, that one sandalwood tree in a forest, it makes the whole forest smell beautiful. But if there's one tree in the forest that has a fire inside, it can burn down a whole forest. So similarly, one bad son can burn down the whole kingdom. But one good son can give the whole dynasty fame. So we have to be good sons. We have to behave properly. And what does that mean? That means that we have to surrender to the concept that I am just a servant. I'm not independent. I'm not a master. Even if someone is acting as a spiritual master, he doesn't think of himself as a master. He thinks himself of the servant. Gopi Bhaktur Parakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. He thinks that he's the servant of the servant of Krishna. He doesn't think he's independent. You go on reading. Read the next text. Ekatma. Ekatmaja. Me janani. Yoshin mudha. Chakinkari. Mayatmaje. Nanya gato. Chakre snehanu bandhanam. I was the only son of my mother, who was not only a simple woman, but a maidservant as well. Since I was her only offspring, she had no other alternative for protection. She bound me with the tie of affection. Next, you can read. Next verse.
She wanted to look after my maintenance properly, but because she was not independent, she was not able to do anything for me. The world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master.
And there's also a verse where Prahlad Maharaj says that even if one goes to a good doctor, there's no guarantee that the doctor can save the life of the patient. Nor if one is on a good boat, there's no guarantee that it won't sink. Nor can the parents provide protection for their children. This is the nature of the material world. But if one is protected by the Lord, then that's real protection. So a devotee is always protected. Someone may say, well, how is it that he's always protected? We see that devotees die also. But their death is compared to the kitten being carried in the mouth of the mother cat. The mother cat carries the kitten in her mouth. The kitten feels protection, and it is protected. But when the cat takes the mouse in its mouth, the mouse feels death. So there's two different things to be in the mouth. In other words, if someone didn't know and they saw a kitten being carried in the cat of the mother cat, what would they think? Think, oh, that poor kitten is going to be eaten now. But the mother cat doesn't eat the kitten. She protects it. So it looks like death, but it's not death for the devotee, because he's going back to Godhead. Where's the death? He doesn't have to take a material body. He's not feeling any pain. He's feeling pleasant. Oh, Krishna has come to take me back to Godhead. It's like, for example, if a person walks outside the door, we may think, oh, now they're lost. They don't exist anymore. No, they exist. They go outside the door, they go somewhere else. Similarly, one leaves this body, he goes somewhere else. It's not that he doesn't exist.
Sometimes we see that some devotees pass away like in the temple or surrounded by devotees and chanting is going on.
Very what?
They pass in very spiritual conditions. They pass away in very spiritual conditions when they are surrounded by devotees and chanting is going around all around them. And at the same time, we see sometimes some devotees pass away like in accidents.
Doesn't matter for a devotee. There's no difference. For a devotee, because his life is all auspicious. Everything, whatever he's doing is auspicious. What is it? What is that devotee doing? Let's say he passes away alone somewhere. Well, it's glorious. Because he's engaged in devotional service. What is he doing? He wasn't doing sense gratification there. He had some mission. He was on the mission of the Lord. Right? So there's nothing inauspicious for a devotee. Everything for a devotee is auspicious. Makes no difference what time he leaves the world. It's automatically auspicious by devotional service. That's why Prabhupada, I was saying this morning, he left Vrindavan. One of the residents of Vrindavan said, you know, that it was remarkable that he left, because generally sadhus never leave Vrindavan. They're afraid of dying outside of Vrindavan. They know if they leave their body in Vrindavan, they go back to Godhead. But Prabhupada said that wherever he went, by preaching and associating with devotees, it was Vrindavan. It was Vaikuntha. So there's no loss. Otherwise, he would have told us all to go and live in Vrindavan. But no, he said this preaching work is the same. He said our temples are Vrindavan. No difference. Nothing inauspicious for a devotee. Whether he dies or whether he lives, Madhabi, Rakabi, Joe, Jartoha, whatever the Lord wants. If the Lord wants him to live, then he lives. And if the Lord wants him to die, then he dies. But he goes on serving somewhere else. Any other? Can I read the next text?
Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow...
I think, did we read
I'm sorry.
Number 8.
Text 8. When I was a mere child of 5 years, I lived in a Brahmana school. I was dependent on my mother's affection and had no experience of different lands. Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent, influenced by supreme time. Purport. That is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. The poor boy was being looked after only by his affectionate mother, and yet the mother was taken from the world by the supreme will in order to put him completely at the mercy of the Lord.
Sometimes people think when something like this may happen, they think God is not being kind to them. God is forsaking them. God forsaken. But no, God never forsakes. Whatever He does is good for the person. But only those who are devotees can realize it. Those who are not devotees, they think God is doing bad for them. Because they're predisposed in a antagonistic way towards God. They don't like God. So, this is another excuse. Just like if you don't like someone, what does it give a dog a bad name and hang it? So, if you don't like someone, then you blame everything on them. Oh, look, they ruined it again. So people are always blaming God that don't like Him. And those who like God, they're always giving Him credit. They're glorifying. Oh, look, what a wonderful thing. Like the other night we were speaking, and I said, what happens when there's an earthquake? What is going on? And one person said, yes, that means He wants to kill so many people, get rid of them. So that's a fact. That's good. Or He may want to deliver them, as in the case of the Yadu dynasty. They were all killed, but they all went to join Krishna. Wherever Krishna goes, He takes His associates with Him. So He was about ready to leave this planet, so He had to make some arrangement to transport all of His associates to the next place. Therefore, He arranged the program at Prabhas Kshetra, where they all were drinking the rice wine and then they beat each other with the canes. That was Krishna's plan, to send his associates to the next destination.
I heard that there's... How many actually survived? Wasn't there like a few of the members of the Yadu dynasty that survived? And what happened to the women and children? Because they didn't kill each other. As far as I understand. There was some pastime with Arjuna where he was taking them to Hastinapur or something. And they were taken by some rogues and thieves.
Different things happen. It's all described in the Vedas, what happened. But, some of them remained. Most of them, they gave up their bodies. Difficult to live without Krishna. Some of them had to go on serving. When the Pandavas found out that Krishna had departed, they went to the Himalayas. And their wife followed them also, Draupadi. And they were going up the mountain and they dropped off. One died after the other. Finally, Yudhisthira was the last one. So, yes, some have to bear the separation. It's like there's so many devotees now living. They're bearing separation from Krishna. That's part of Krishna's plan to increase the loving exchange coming and going. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.